Take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, and we'll be reading the first 8 verses together this morning, John chapter 15. So we continue in that intimate time with the Lord Jesus and his disciples before his crucifixion. And we hear these words, John 15 at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Says Jesus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing of the Christ who arose, that we can sing of our Savior today. And we thank you, Lord, that we can sing. And we can also, Lord, open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. We thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for your Holy Spirit through whom Scripture was inspired and given to us. But Lord, also by your Spirit, Lord, that word that we read in our Bibles, Lord, comes alive again to us as your Spirit applies it to us and applies it to our hearts today. So help us, Lord, whoever we are, whatever reason we've come this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us and that we would respond in faith, in love, and in hope. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John 15 that we've just started to read together is a wonderful passage that speaks to us all about the grace of God. And hopefully this morning we'll be able to see some of the wonder and the joy and the amazingness of what this passage is all about, because it's a passage that talks about how the Lord takes what is dead branches and makes them come alive and makes them bear an incredible amount of fruit. Now, everybody loves fruit, I assume. Everybody here this morning loves to go into a go to a market and find being surrounded with boxes of oranges and bananas and apples and blueberries and strawberries. And don't you love that? Going into a place and just being surrounded with the bounty of fruit. And the wonderful thing about this passage is it says this is what God does with people. He takes them who are naturally dead, have no life. He gives them life so that they bear much fruit. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. I am the true vine. This is the last of the 7 I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Do you remember them all? I am the bread of life. And so for those who are spiritually hungry, Jesus is bread. I am the light of the world. If you are spiritually blind, he is the one who opens our eyes. I am the door. Are you looking for a way of salvation? Are you looking for a door to heaven? I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Do you find yourself being a sheep who is often lost and dirty and needing help? I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Are you spiritually dead? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14. If you wonder what's the way, are you unsure of truth? It's in Jesus. And he says here, I am the true vine. Ever want to be a branch? A branch? Now, initially, that might seem kind of strange. Does that seem pleasing or desirable to you? Does that seem to make sense? Well, of course, the idea here is not simply that you would be a branch, but you would be a branch that bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And the idea here is Jesus here is talking about a life of purpose, a life filled with meaning, a life filled with fruitfulness, that people will look at your life and experience your life and experience it, as it were, as walking into that great market and just being overwhelmed with the beauty of the fruit that is being produced in your life. Jesus had alluded to this already a little bit earlier in John chapter 10 when he was talking about being the good shepherd. You remember he said this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, much fruit." To bear fruit is an image that should appeal to us because it's really, isn't it, every human being's desire and longing to be, or really a search for significance, right? To live a life that is significant, that is fruitful, and that has a lasting effect and impact on others. It's really what makes us different, isn't it, from the animals? A sense of purpose and meaning to life. I am the true vine. Now, if you were a Jew in Jesus' day and you were going to the temple for worship, do you know what you would see as you entered the temple area? Well, as you entered the temple area, according to historians of the first century, both Roman and Jewish, the temple which then stood in Jerusalem, over its door, had a large golden vine. And one of those historians is Flavius Josephus, and he tells us that it spread out with its branches hanging, this is over the door now, hanging down from a great height, and that its clusters of grapes were as tall as a man. And this golden vine, he says, was a marvel to all on account of both its size and its fine workmanship. So when the Jews went to the temple in Jesus' day, there was this golden vine with these huge clusters of grapes whenever they would go to offer sacrifice or to worship. Why was there a vine by the temple? Because every time the Jew would go there then, they would be reminded that they were meant to be the vine of the Lord. Because that's an image, of course, that comes from the Old Testament. In fact, coins from the time of coins from Israel often bore the symbol of a vine, because that's what they were meant to be, the vine of the Lord. It was a national symbol, just like the dragon is the symbol of Wales, or a lion, a symbol, right, of England, or the beaver, a symbol of Canada, or the kiwi bird, a symbol of New Zealand, or the American eagle. A vine was what the Jew was to be. But here's the problem. That the Jewish nation, the people of God, the covenant people of God, were a terrible disappointment as a vine. In fact, in Jeremiah 2:21, we hear the Lord saying about Israel, the vine, "I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine?" Or perhaps the most well-known description of God's people as a vine is in Isaiah chapter 5. And this is what we read in Isaiah 5. "Let me sing now for my well-beloved," this is the Lord now singing, "a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine." This is the Lord now planting his people. "And he built a tower in the middle of it and also hewed out a wine vat in it. And then he expected it to produce good grapes. So he planted a people, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also change the clouds to rain, no rain on it. And so if that little parable didn't help the people of God understand what the Lord was talking about, he made it clear in the very next verse. He said this, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress." So this picture of a vine in the Old Testament was all about the people of God that God had planted. But as the Lord walked through the vineyard and he looked for fruit, he looked for the fruit of repentance and faith and obedience and love for the Lord, he didn't find that in that vineyard. And the result was that Israel was going to be taken captive, sent into exile. The result would be, as you know, Jerusalem and the temple would eventually be destroyed by the Romans. The result would be at the end that worship at that earthly temple would come to an end, and there would be a new beginning with the coming of Christ. And so when Jesus comes on the scene and proclaims here in John 15, "I am the true vine," his listeners would know immediately what he was referring to. The people of God in the Old Testament were supposed to be the vine, but they failed. And in contrast to their failure, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I am all that Israel was supposed to be. I am the true vine of the Lord," and as the true vine, Jesus is able to bear the fruit that Israel was never able to bear. Jesus obeys where Israel disobeyed. And as the true vine, Jesus never disappoints the Father when he comes looking for fruit on the vine of his Son. So, what does that have to do with us? This. Jesus says in verse 5 of our passage, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Here's what it has to do with us. Jesus is saying here that all those who are united to Christ are fruit bearers. All those who have embraced Christ by faith, all those who are united to him by definition, bear fruit in their life. "I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So what Jesus is saying is just this, that like the Old Testament people of God, apart from Christ, we have nothing to offer God. We have no fruit to offer him. If God were to walk through the vineyard of our life, apart from Christ, he would find nothing that would measure up to real fruit. It would all be spoiled. It would all be the kind of fruit that you get on sale, at discount grocery stores. You know, it's not the good stuff. It's all spoiled and rotten. Apart from Christ, there's no good fruit, Jesus says. God would find the same things that he found in his people, Israel. But with Christ, you see, he is the vine. We are the branches. We're united to him. We are in Christ. We are with Christ. We are one with Christ. This is what this image of the vine and the branches means. The vine is the whole plant. The branches are simply united to that vine, part of that vine, united to the vine, one with the vine, drawing life from the vine. And the wonderful thing here is that the vine produces the fruit that Israel never did, and Christ produces that fruit, he says, through us. You see, because we are the branches, and it is in our lives that the fruit of the work of Christ is given evidence. In fact, as Jesus tells us in verse 8, the proof of being a disciple is that you are a fruit bearer. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So first of all, that's very important. The Bible says that anybody who is united to Jesus Christ by faith necessarily is a fruit bearer. That's important because some people want to say today, and it's always seemed to have been around, it was around in the New Testament, some want to say that there are two kinds of Christians. Some Christians have believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, and they have Jesus as their Savior. And then there's other super-duper Christians who have kind of kicked it up a notch. And not only do they believe in Jesus as their Savior, that He's forgiven their sins, but they actually live for Him. They obey Him and His Word. But we're told, but there's these two kinds of, they're both Christians, there's just these two different kinds. But the problem, of course, is that for Jesus, there was no possibility, friends, that there could ever be someone who is in fact a Christian, but failed to prove it with their life. There's no such creature in the world, because everyone who's united to Christ is a fruit bearer, a fruit bearer. Now, granted, sometimes you have to look really hard for those grapes, but they're there. They're there. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. But then how specifically is such fruit-bearing accomplished? Well, Jesus tells us that apart from Him, we can do nothing. Listen to what He says in verse 4. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. Very simple, right? A branch by itself cannot bear fruit. It needs to be a part of the vine. Have you ever seen I grew up in an apple orchard. I grew up in the house, but we had an apple orchard around the house. And in walking around the apple orchard, I never saw a branch dislocated from the tree lying on the ground from year to year producing marvelous fruit by itself. It was dead, and it was barren. And this is what Jesus says, a branch by itself can't bear fruit, it needs to be part of the vine. This is what we are called to. Christ is the vine, we are the branches, we're to bear fruit by how? He says, abiding in Christ. It means to remain in Christ. It means keeping fellowship with the Lord. And first of all, he says it involves keeping fellowship in the Word of Christ. Notice what he says, verse 3. You are already clean or cleansed or pruned because of the Word which I have spoken to you. The Word, the Bible says, cleanses us. The Word of Christ brings new life. Peter tells us that we're born again through the living Word of God. It is the imperishable seed. We're told in Timothy that all Scripture is breathed out by God, useful for training and for instruction and correction and rebuking, all those things. Peter tells us we're to crave the Word as newborn babes crave milk. He tells us that we have all we need for life and godliness in the Word that has been spoken to us. Jesus, earlier in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 31, said this, to His disciples. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And here in verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. How do we produce fruit? Well, Jesus says we need to remain in Him and we need to remain in His Word, and His Word needs to remain in us. It needs to be a part of our bloodstream. I think it was Spurgeon who said of somebody that if you pricked him anywhere, he would bleed bibline. Right? The idea that the Word of God is just so thoroughly a part of us that if we cut ourselves, out comes the Word of God. If we're pressed, out comes the Word of God. remaining in His Word. And so we need to remain in His Word. That's how we produce fruit. But more than that, Jesus says, how is this fruit produced? Well, especially by simply abiding in Christ Himself. Now, did you notice how Jesus puts it? He puts it, just in case you missed it, He puts it again and again, right? Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Verse 5. He who abides in me, and I in him. Verse 6, by way of warning, if anyone does not abide in me. Verse 7, again, if you abide in me, you see. Here's the thing. The Bible says, Jesus says here to his disciples, if you would live the meaningful, purposeful, fruit-filled, eternally significant life that only exists in a life that is thoroughly in Christ, remaining in Him, resting in Him, living in Him, abiding in Him, drawing life from Him, looking to Him, trusting Him, adoring Him, worshiping Him. As Paul would put it in Ephesians 1:3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So you think of any possible spiritual blessing that you desire, oh, that you long to have for your life or your children or your family or the church. And what does the Bible says? All of it only in Christ. Now that's important, right? Because Jesus doesn't say, right, abide in the church. He doesn't even say that. Because, of course, abiding in a church or sitting in a church doesn't mean by definition that you are in Christ. You might be in a church, but not in Christ. You might be in a church, but no more in Christ than someone alone on a deserted island in the Indian Ocean. Right? It's possible to be in a church, but not in Christ. One Bible commentator says this, Jesus was making it clear that being part of God's fruitful vine was not a matter of national identity. It's not, I'm an American. No. It's not about the political climate. I'm a Republican. No. Or religious fervor. It was first and foremost about Himself, Jesus, and about being in relationship with Him. Now, that's a simple truth, but it's a vital truth. There is no such thing as Christless Christianity. And friends, there is no such thing as a life of significance and eternal value and fruitfulness apart from a life that is immersed in Jesus Christ, in His Word. Because really, Jesus and His Word, they're inseparable, really. It's the Word of Christ. It's Christ Himself that we are meant to remain and abide in. No fruit apart from Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That Jesus says there is no fruit that you could ever produce of any kind of value or lasting significance in your life, in your family, or in the lives of your children, or in a church, apart from Jesus. You see. If you believe that, and if I believe that, I would be saying more along with the Apostle Paul that to live is Christ. You see, there'd be fruit of that, is what Jesus is saying. That fruitful, that productive, that blessed life comes by remaining in Christ. But what if there is no fruit? Because this is what this passage deals with as well. What if there is no fruit? All those united to Christ are fruit bearers. Fruit bearers remain in Christ, in His Word. But what if there is no fruit? Now, you remember that John the Baptist, of course, had many who came to hear him preach. And John the Baptist was not always the most politically correct preacher. He doesn't appear to be at his winsome best early in the Gospel of Matthew. Because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, people are coming to hear him preach. And you know what he said? He said this, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, isn't that great? They want to be baptized. They want to be added to the church. He said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You heard what he said? So he wasn't overjoyed that people were saying, hey, I'll be baptized. No, he said, listen, friend. Well, he didn't say friend. He said, listen, who told you to bear fruit in keeping with repentance? In other words, your life has absolutely no evidence of having a humbled heart before God. Don't come to be baptized. You haven't felt your sin. You are proud. You are arrogant, is all really what John the Baptist is communicating there. Why this emphasis on fruit? Well, of course, John the Baptist was a good student and would become a student of the Lord Jesus. Why this emphasis on fruit? Well, Jesus said this, you'll remember, in Matthew 7:16. He said, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not have good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So clearly here in John chapter 15, there are two kinds of branches in this passage. There are branches that are joined to the vine. They're alive. They are fruitful. They are bearing much fruit. And there are those that are somehow joined to the vine, but are dead, useless, and will be cut off, according to Jesus. Jesus says about the divine vine dresser, God the Father, he says this, that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's verse 6. So Jesus says, there are those branches that are taken away, and those are those that do not abide in Christ. Now, friends, this is very important. Jesus says there's a sense that there are branches that are in me. That is, there is some kind of visible outward connection with Jesus Christ and his church. There's some kind of in me-ness there. There's some kind of closeness to Jesus. But, he says, there's no living, vital union with him through faith, and therefore there's no salvation. What is he talking about? How can you be in Jesus and yet have no salvation and actually be taken away? How can that be? Well, friends, the context gives us the understanding here. What has Jesus just been talking about with his disciples? Well, he's just been speaking about one who would betray him, remember? He'd been speaking about Judas, who was a betrayer from the beginning, but only known to Jesus. Remember that? And of him, Jesus said in John 13:10, he said, you are clean, he said to his disciples, but not all of you. So in other words, he said to his disciples, those who professed to love him, he said, not all of you are clean. That is, not all of you have been washed with the regenerating water and cleansing and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And he was talking, of course, about Judas. But Judas, of course, to the rest of the disciples, did not have horns growing out of his head. Right? In fact, he was given great responsibility to care for the funds of the disciples and their earthly concerns. Humanly speaking, none were closer physically to Jesus, and yet none were spiritually, Jesus says, farther from him. He did not bear fruit. Friends, the simple truth here is that, listen, none who belong to Christ will ever be snatched from his hand. This is what Jesus has taught us in John 5. All his will belong to him. No one can snatch them from his hand. No one can snatch them from his Father's hand. If we're truly united to Christ, we will never lose our salvation. We are bound to him. We are his forever. He protects us and he keeps us. No one loses their salvation. But the Bible also says that there are false believers who will be found out and removed. And we know that's the case because remember in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, talking about his fellow Jews, said that not all who are Israel, not all who are descended from Israel are actually Israel of the faith. In other words, not all those in the covenant who've received all the promises actually are believing. Not are actually believing God, trusting Him, and embracing the Savior. There's no union with Christ, no faith in Him. There are those branches too. They are called in the Bible false professors. There are those who, Hebrews tells us, have tasted of the good things of God, but have never truly embraced Jesus. That's what Hebrews tells us. There are folks who attend church, who know Christian language, but have no true life, is what Jesus is saying. In 1 John 2:19, the Bible says, there are those who went out from us because they were never truly one of us. There are those who've had the blessings of the covenant. Maybe they've been circumcised in the Old Testament. They've been baptized in the New. But they've never actually been cleansed with the washing of the Word within. They've never been cleansed of their sin within through faith in the Savior, even though they have the outward sign. And Jesus says there's going to be those who stand before Him on the day when He returns, and they're going to profess to have known Him and served Him. And Christ will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now that's important. Because Jesus is saying here that it's possible for some, even perhaps many, to have a superficial relationship with Jesus. It's possible to have a superficial, external, sitting in church kind of relationship with Jesus, but never actually a union with Him through faith. And an embracing of Him by faith. And a loving of Him by faith. Some are self-conscious hypocrites. They know they're not believers. And some have deceived themselves, maybe not understanding the gospel and thinking somehow they're Christian because of good works they've done or because they're moral and upright, but they've never really united themselves by faith to Jesus as their Savior. And they are not living branches of the vine. Well, how do we know then? Does Jesus give us help here? How do we know? What can we expect from a person who is vitally united to Christ as a living branch is united to the true vine? Jesus tells us. First thing, most obviously, there is fruit. There is fruit in their life. Hear again what Jesus says. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Friends, our life and our fruit-producing strength comes from our relationship to Jesus. When we love him and embrace him and walk with him and are in his word and his word is seeping through us, he produces amazing. What kind of fruit? Well, fruit of repentance. We recognize our sin, the fruit of faith, the fruit of obedience, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God is hanging off our life. Gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control, good works, a heart filled with praise and worship of God. And when that happens, Jesus says, when that fruit is produced, my Father's glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So how do we know? Well, there's fruit, biblical fruit, Spirit-given fruit in our life. Another evidence that you're remaining in Christ, Jesus says, is this. It's the Father's pruning of your life. Every branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit, you see. Every branch. To prune, of course, right, means to cut away. It means, the Bible says, that that the Father cuts away things out of our lives that keeps us from being fruitful. And friends, this helps us understand why Christians who are closest to Christ, haven't you noticed that? That Christians that seem to be closest to Christ are those who have suffered, you see, suffered in their life. And though they've experienced the Father's pruning in a painful way, you see them bearing fruit of faith and gentleness, maybe in kindness and humility and thankfulness and gratitude to God. They're brought closer to Christ and they're bearing more fruit in their life. And friends, this is so important, so encouraging for us. This is what it means then for us to suffer trials. God is not punishing us. God is not discouraging us. God is actually has a purpose in our trials and in our suffering. What is it? It is that we would grow in likeness to Christ and that there would be more fruit. The Father is so glorified when we bear more of the fruit of the Spirit. That is, fruitfulness, friends, is simply likeness to Jesus. And the Father is so glorified in that, He will even prune us. He'll cut away those things in your life and my life that have become more important to us than God Himself. I grew up on a fruit farm, and I did some pruning. My dad had me out. I was pretty young, but we had apple trees, and we'd have to prune the trees. And I don't know if everybody calls them this, but when we pruned trees and took the shoots off of the fruit-bearing branches, I learned as a little kid that those were called suckers. Those shoots that grow on the branch. So why are they called suckers? Because they suck away from the life of the tree, and so they need to be pruned away. Why? So that there'll be more fruit. And friends, the Bible's saying that if you are united to Jesus by faith, every branch will be pruned somehow. Things will be cut out of your life that are sucking the love that should be going towards God, and it's being sucked away to other things. You know what God will do? If you're united to Him, He'll prune it. He'll prune it. And thanks be to God, He does. So that our hearts and our loves and our passions and our desires don't go towards those suckers. But they go into bearing more fruit to the honor and glory of our God. And lastly, friends, another evidence Jesus says here of remaining in Christ and bearing fruit is simply a growing sense of our own weakness, you see. Did you notice that? Why was Jesus saying to His disciples here that, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I wish I could produce more fruit in my Christian life. I wish that I looked more like Jesus Christ. You ever said that to yourself? I wish I was more faithful. And our tendency, of course, when that happens to us is, I need to do something about that. Maybe I need to add this to my life, and I need to add some more of this, and I need to do more of this. And friends, we start to think that, if we are lacking something, we need to add this ourselves, and we can become more serious, and we can become more spiritual, and we can become more fruitful if we just decide on it and do it ourselves. It's always tempting for a Christian to think he's stronger, she's stronger than he or she really is, that we can handle sin, and that we can handle evil and temptation. We've got this, God. And that on our own we can handle whatever the world has to throw at us. But you know what Jesus says the reality is? Right? That apart from Him, you and I can do nothing, you see. Nothing that lasts. Nothing that is eternal. Isn't that what Jesus said? He'll say later, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. That it would last. And so, friends, why does Jesus, does he want us to just be plunged into discouragement and depression? No, he wants us to be drawn closer to him. So what's the answer to a life that we believe is lacking the kind of fruit we should see? It is not for us to pull up our bootstraps and to try harder to bear fruit. It's to grow closer to Christ. And it's to draw near to him. Because, friends, when we draw near to Christ, who is the vine, Jesus says, you will bear fruit. More fruit. And even much fruit. When you remain in the vine. Friends, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. All those united to Christ bear Christ's fruit, but we can bear fruit only if we remain in him. And it's good for us as branches to examine ourselves to see if we are remaining in Christ and to say to myself, am I bearing fruit in my life to the glory of God? And friends, if the answer is no, then the answer for us is not produce more fruit, but it is draw nearer to Christ. And if you've experienced the Father's pruning, that pruning, friends, is meant to draw you nearer to Jesus. Rejoice that he is so concerned about you and I bearing fruit. He will do whatever it takes to make us more like the Savior. Friends, do you see that without Christ you can do nothing? May we see that today, and may it compel us, may it motivate us to draw ever nearer then to the Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing truth that you have called us to be fruit bearers. And Lord, that what your people in the Old Testament failed to do, Lord, that we might do through faith and union with Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the vine. We thank you that he is the one who pleases the Father. We thank you that he is the one who has given his life over to death, that all those who believe in him might have their sin forgiven, and that all those who are united to him through faith might bear fruit in their life. Oh Lord, we want to bear fruit of faith and repentance and good works, obedience and love and service. Lord, we want people to come into sovereign grace as we are worshiping the Lord and to sense the fruit all around us, the fruit of your Holy Spirit at work, being born on the branches of our lives. Help us, Lord, to see that fruit in our marriages, that we would see it in our husband, that we would see it in our wife, that we would see it in our children, that we would see it in our elders and our deacons and our leaders, that we would see it in our parents. Lord, that we would see it in one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that when we see that fruit, it is to the glory of our Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.